Today at warp speed, please.
Captain, we'd like your permission to take the engineering computer offline for a few hours. We're working on an interface that will allow data attacks to emerge from back up in the chip license system.
In theory, my neural network should be able to sustain key systems until proper controls are restored.
We can't identify Jordan. They were looking for a backup lab. He would be used from that to use fancy space hard drive. When Warp runs into the captain's room and tries to make it work a lot, the captain puts down his flute and says, Warp, let me tell you what. It's time for a vacation, and I know you need one too. So stop your work with being a jerk, boy. Don't make me order you. Now, you work hard for lawyer, boy, but you live with someone else too. I bet a fellow not old against your code wants to spend some time with you. Boy says, I've got it all planned out with Barkley. It might be a rat. Let's see who the rats in the ancient west on the Enterprise holiday.
Eli knew what was going to do. Said, better let me go. He smirked at them in the jail cell and said to evil hiss, my poppy joined my band of thugs and it all sounds up like this.
You're a very funny man, Senor Eli. Kind captain.
Where's my boy?
Am I supposed to be kidnapped now? Could you not be?
Said, Sheriff, give me back my son. Warp says, no, where did that go? The kidnap has been done.
Hold on, Warp, man, machine. Someone on this other machine. It's one of the characters, too. Can you slow down what we do?
What? Where did you get my son? Where is he?
Yep, I'm here. I'm calling him up here, but come on over.
Yes, and we are back. So, are you still with us, Michael?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Just about.
Just about. I forgot to take it off mute.
Don't worry. I started talking on mute as well, so very professional job here. So, what we're going to be doing this hour is... we are going to be running a auction for some silver Star Trek London tickets. Now, this is something that I know some people might already have, but may have been considering getting tickets for their loved ones to go with them, or possibly haven't yet got their tickets, so you could potentially really get a bargain. And I think it is, and remember, but all of your money would be going to a very worthwhile charity. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this very slightly differently than how we had run previous ones of like everybody bid as much as they can, and then if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Because you want to be able to turn around and guarantee that you're getting the tickets without donating 80 quid. And... then thinking, oh, I didn't get it. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold a closed auction. So if you either email trekmate1701@gmail.com or you can send us a direct message through Twitter and tell us how much you would be willing to pay for a Star Trek London ticket. And remember, this is the silver ticket, so it's not your bog standard tickets that you're going to be getting. It gets you into a hell of a lot of stuff. I'll find out exactly what is included for the ticket. What tickets have you got, Michael, for Stoke London?
I've actually got the 2-day standard for the Friday, Saturday, but I'm now coming on the Friday as well.
Yes.
So sort of standard tickets, and I've done add-ons to those. But the silver ticket looks brilliant. I'll just bring it up, actually.
It really does. That's what I was just getting. The ticket package for the silver ticket, you will get a 3-day event access pass. You'll also get one ticket to the opening ceremony, which is the Five Captains Talk, which is where all the cool cats want to be. You'll get 4 randomly assigned captains' talks, so you'll even be able to get more in-depth with the captains there. You'll be entitled to 4 in-person autographs with actors and actresses that will be determined by the group. Also, you will get 1 bridge photo shoot included, a ticket to the stunt show, a limited edition print, an exclusive goodie bag, an exclusive silver collector's card. That's quite a bit, to be honest. Yeah. And the recommended retail price for that is £225. So depending on how generous you want to be or how the bids go, you may be able to get yourself a bargain. But remember, all of the money that you're giving does go to charity. So if you was willing to get the silver tickets anyway, why not get it through us? Because we've been donating them by Media 10, so you're guaranteed your tickets. Don't worry, they're in hand. So they'll be coming straight to you in the next couple of weeks. And then you'll be able to save yourself a few quid and get all of the perks. And as I said, if you was going to spend 225 quid, what does it matter if you're willing to pay 150 quid to a charity and saving yourself 75 quid on top?
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone's a winner.
Yeah, definitely. Well worth it. And as you've said, Wayne, the money goes to really great good causes.
Yeah, it really does. The charities that we're supporting, for anyone that's just tuning in, we're supporting Amnesty International, who are a group that really fight for all of the human rights of individuals throughout the world and have touched many people's lives. And also for my local hospital's special care baby unit, the Watford General Hospital special care baby unit. And we will then be able to help them help other people, because they really do fantastic work. They saved my daughter's life, and they've saved countless others, and even children that are born with disabilities, with premature, they help all forms of kids coming into the world. So it really does make a difference. It really does. So remember, get your bids into trekmate1701@gmail.com. No matter even how small it is, if you want to email us and just say, oh, I wonder if it'll go for this much. I'm going to keep you updated throughout the next hour, so you've got until 3 p.m. To get your bids in. I'll give regular updates on how the bidding is going, so that if somebody does outbid you, you can then find out. You won't know who it is, but you'll be able to find out exactly what the current bid is. So get them bids coming in, because you won't have to pay a penny unless you are the top bidder. But the only rule is, please make sure that you can make a payment within half an hour of the auction closing at 3 o'clock. So get them bids coming in, and we'll be looking forward to revealing who's won that at the end of the hour. Now, we was going to do a fantasy track. We still very well might do, but we've actually got a lot of other stuff to get through at the same time. Because, Michael, earlier on in the week, we actually caught up with Larry Nemechek.
Yeah, we did. That was really, really interesting, actually. He's a great guy and had a lot a lot to say.
Yeah, it's always fun to get on with Larry and hear exactly what he does have to say, because as you said, he's normally got a lot to say. So let's go to part three of our Larry Nemechek interview, and we'll be back very shortly, so get your bids coming in.
And now we're back to Star Trek with Larry Nemechek. How are you? For anyone who's going to get that reference, we were talking about Monty Python in the break. But my question for you, Larry, is during your involvement with Star Trek, did you ever have any personal disappointments or different visions on how you thought Star Trek should have gone forward? I know that you wrote a story called Reflections, which became realized as a Voyage episode called Prophecy. I mean, perhaps that's one for you, I don't know.
Have I been disappointed in the way Star Trek went?
As Star Trek has come forward, is there any sort of things they've done in Star Trek which you personally think they shouldn't have done? Or, I mean, 2009.
Star Trek 5.
Yeah, oh. 5, 2009.
Well, wow. I remember in the 80s, after two and three movies, I remember, it was kind of funny. I remember, I remember in the, I'm sorry, Wayne.
That's all right, don't worry.
Are you going to edit this? Okay.
Actually, shall I ask it again?
No, it's fine, I can edit that out.
Yeah. You could just take it up with the end of his question and I'll start fresh. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. I've been pretty much a consumer, I think, of Star Trek, and I haven't been the hottest head to fire off, either, you know, in the slow motion days of the 80s in letters or, you know, the internet age when people lay down 47,000, you know, comments on blogs and everything. I remember in the 80s wishing that the movies could be more about, taking a page from my Sooners theme fight song. I was, you know, background born and background dead, and when I die, I'll be background dead or something. No, I mean, I've been a background fan. I remember thinking in the 80s during the movies that I wish they'd get into take the scope and the budget that they had available and get into more of the background of the Federation and show some Andorians and Tellarites, for God's sake, and do some, you know, things like that. And I did finally get to ask Harb Bennett when we interviewed him for The Con of Wrath on the side if the Federation Council scene in Star Trek IV had been because of all my letters in Interstat when he didn't know me from Adam. And he said, no, I don't think so. So, you know, I can't take credit for that. But I remember saying, okay, I get it. Kirk, Spock, McCoy are the heroes, and the Enterprise is the ship. But can we, like, you know, I just remember thinking that the movie format was really limiting for that, and I wanted to see more of the background. And so hearing that there'd be a weekly show again was great, and getting to see some more of that. And as far as, you know, where they went with a turn here, a turn there, I remember being disappointed in Six. I thought Six was a really good radio play. It was great on the metaphor of the Cold War ending. But some of the visual things, I kind of went, you know, like Phaser in the galley and the dictionaries on the bridge, even if the Universal Translator was out or whatever. Some of the little goofy things, I went, oh, look, Harb's not producing and nobody's in charge. It's Leonard and Nick Meyer, who are all, you know, obviously can't be challenged on their Star Trek cred, but, like, there's, you know, some of these things are creeping in. And I don't know, I think I was disappointed in Voyager that, you know, my wife was working on the show then, and I was out here close, and we were watching it evolve, and the pilot was so exciting and had so much set up. And I know the network, you know, vision kind of trumped in on a few things, and they went vanilla very fast. The whole Maquis Starfleet thing got settled way too early.
Yeah, that could have been a great story.
Oh, yeah.
But it seemed to be discussed occasionally. And then it would rear its ugly head once in a blue moon, with Chakotay saying something to Torres, and it would be a short 5-minute scene of them talking about, let's do it the Maquis way. And it's just like, well, you haven't been a Maquis for hated.
Yeah, and some of the friction around Seska was kind of like a fill-in for the, instead of having the whole crew, you know, two-thirds, one-third, you know, exactly. I mean, one of the things as a background I was trying to tie down in the beginning, just watching for the show clues, was, you know, how big was Chakotay's crew? We knew how many were on the ship. Like, what percentage of those people were Maquis? You know, did he have 12 people? They kept popping up, and there'd be a group thing, or they kept dying off. I mean, you can make a list of them. You can go look it up now at, you know, Memory Alpha.
Because it never seemed like a big crew.
No, it was a small ship, but then...
And what I was also going to say is, I think, am I right in saying this, Eric, that pretty much the reason why it went vanilla so quick is because the studio saw it as their next flagship show, so they almost let Deep Space Nine do whatever the hell it wanted.
Thank God for that.
Well, you got a lot. You're throwing around a lot of pronouns there. There was this, you know, the studio. I mean, DS9 was syndicated. Syndication went from being the hero thing, Next Generation. Oh, look at the freedom we have from syndication. We're revolutionizing the TV industry. Syndication has been, you know, which is market by market stations in America buying something. So syndication went from being game shows and talk shows to, wow, 1 hour primetime first run drama. You know, and then it became such a big thing, and so many of the genre shows, you know, Hercules and Xena, and major shows from Gene, and so much was going on that way that then it became this overblown, not overblown, but, you know, DS9 wasn't so uniquely viewed in the industry. And then when Voyager became a network show, even though it was on a crippled little startup network, it became the big deal. And it's like, Ira, I know when the pilot night, we watched the pilot of the screening on the lot for Voyager. Everybody was excited, and Ira was happy for them, but he was down that he felt like DS9 was, and they had just shot Future Tense, the Del Riot show, and it was this huge show that was trying to make a big social Star Trek statement, and did, and still does, but he was just thinking that they were getting, you know, they were the number two to Next Gen, and before they could assume their title as senior show, they were kind of getting upstaged, because now the big thing was to be the network, the flagship of UPN, and Voyager was getting all that attention, and he always just felt like it was going to be the middle child that, you know, didn't get attention until years later, which is, seems like it's coming true. But yeah, and because the network was involved, there was another layer of that, and they were worried about their Star Trek brand and the good guys, and how could we go dark with the Maquis and have this ongoing, you know. I mean, Janet used to say, she would say in her words, she wanted to watch every week and not know who was sitting in the captain's chair, if it was Janeway or if it was Chakotay or B'Elanna or, you know, whatever, and have it be this back. In fact, you know,
Harry
would
never make that.
No.
Huh?
Well, Harry
no. I mean, they started coming close with things like, you know, Galactic, you know, Ron's Galactica and some other chaotic things, but it would never, you know, that would be the ultimate payoff, and maybe eventually, but spend a year or two. You want some year-long arcs. Well, there's your year-long arc, you know. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about 1994, 1995, and 96, guys, so.
It's interesting hearing, that side of things, though, because over here, like, where, obviously, DS9 over there was syndicated, over here, both Voyager and Deep Space Nine were broadcast on the same channels. So they were given the same amount of attention and respect by the fans.
See, and it's the same thing that I started, you know, when we started coming to conventions in Germany and the UK and some of the other countries, and I got an internationalized perspective, because to me, you know, the shows come as they come. They come in the times they were made. They come week to week, so that you remember when you watched Best of Both Worlds Part 1, and it was the first cliffhanger, and it was the oh my god, and the publicity and the promotion for Star Trek and Next Gen just blew up over that summer in a good way. And the audience was so primed to see Part 2 and the you know, the mystique and the security walls and everything around Star Trek really went up, and then it took off. And, you know, oh, well, so what if they had a clunker show, you know, every once in a while? It was who cares? The show is incredible. And you have the context for all that, whereas I go overseas and I realize – I call it the wall of DVDs. It's like you just walk into a wall, and whether it's Cage or Where No Man's Gone Before or it's These Are the Voyages, the end of Enterprise – you know, or JJ's book. It's all just a wall that greets you at the same time. Pick whatever you want. Pick one from column A, one from column B. Take them home and watch them, and you see them all as you know. You don't view them in that context. And now, it's like forget foreign people, forget you know fans overseas. Since there's no weekly show on, and we've got the JJ audience, that's the way new American fans come to it too. It's all, you know, we're going to get to a point where there will soon be a world where no one lives who saw the original series live in prime time on NBC in the 60s. I mean, I didn't, but you know what I'm saying? It's like our the way we view the shows, whether we like it or not, is going to, you know, our emotional side is going to inform a little bit of that. And it's different for people when they came into the That's why I like to poll people when I'm at a convention. One of my panels, whatever the one I have, or if it's one that's more suitable, I always like to poll people and say, when did you come into the Star Trek family as a fandom? You know, do you go to the original series? Were you a rerun baby? Were you next gen original? Were you next gen? I need to start saying, were you a next gen rerun? Because it's been pretty much in reruns somewhere since they went off in 94. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come in not having that, the weekly. You know, just getting to watch it strip daily. If you're in a market that's, you know, nationally or locally or nationally, if you're in a market that's getting to watch them every day, it's a whole different vibe than, you know, waiting that week in between and all that. So, you know, it is good. But the first awareness I had that was coming over. But you're totally right. And you hear us blather on about stuff, but you guys have your own perspective, like you were just telling me about that. So the fact that Voyager and DS9 got the same amount of respect and promotion mm-hmm. in a way blows me away, because that's what the sad thing about DS9. It was the way they were produced, and fans that really want to know why something was should dig in and get into that. And, of course, over time you can't help, but a lot of things, you know, the vast majority, if you really care about television, if you think it's worth studying, the classics or the neo, you know, the near classics, or much less movies, they're a product of their time and politics and who was the head dog at the studio or the, you know, all that stuff goes in. And what was going on in the world and the fact that there were two other Robin Hood movies the year we did Cupid, you know, on Next Gen. I mean, those kinds of things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering that. And one thing I did want to sort of slightly touch on was I believe that you and your wife picked a story for Voyager called Reflections.
Yes.
And that got sort of shelved, and it was sort of the idea was sort of put up on a shelf for a few years, and it was finally ended up being an episode of Prophecy. Were you? I mean, how far from your original vision was that?
Well, part of that went into and Janet's very much more vocal about this than I am, but part of it is can I just say it's weird to, I mean, I know it's on Memory Alpha now and it's gotten out, but I mean, we used to talk, we would do a panel on this at cons, and to have people come in and quote this back at me is a little, is still, it's very cool, but it's still a little odd feeling, but yeah, no, it's great. It's just funny, like, and I'm looking in the history book here and I'm reading this paragraph. It, you know, the original vision was a product of the time, which is when the show was a baby and the characters were all babies. And it was – and I know I've said this before, but the pitch was like, well, you've got a half Klingon character. You've got to do a Klingons in the Delta Quadrant. How will it be? Well, there's either a vortex or let's have a generational shift. And originally we had said this can explain a lot of different things. You know, you can tackle the bumpy forehead issue if you want to with this. You can use it as a springboard to, you know, but the fact that the Klingons at some point sent out ships with generational crews, were they trying to outflank the Romulans and the Federation both and just send out single ships that way in case something happened? You know, almost a little bit the way the Founders must have sent out, you know, Odo babies, you know, for whatever. But, you know, and then you know, what are the ramifications of that? You can do some retcon history that way. Of course, in 1994, nobody cared about that. Nobody at the on this, you know, Jerry and Michael didn't care about all that unless you had a story to hang on it immediately. But the fact that it was a new show and they were trying to throw a lot of things out there and then maybe we'll pick up on them later. You know, the fact the caretaker had a mate that was hanging around and then they went to it in the second season, not the fifth. That kind of thing. So, yeah, the original pitch was about a generational ship, and obviously Klingon and B'Elanna was the focal person, obviously, and that she was going to get mixed up in it. It was actually of our three or four pitches, it was kind of like I guess we got to do this. I mean, we spent a lot more time and energy on some original things. The one I remember really also was Voyager joining a covered wagon train of other ships that were trying to go places, which made a lot of sense to me given what they were doing.
That was a good arc, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of it wound up kind of coming back. It was I had no connection at all. But a lot of it, I realized the last season when they did the show called Void, which was almost a precursor of Archers and X-01 being in the Expanse. But when Janeway was trying to have to find allies, they were basically the good guys and the bad guys, and they were stuck in that void before they could get out. That was had a little bit of the flavor of what we were talking about. But it really reinforced the fact they were all alone from home. But, they bought Untitled Klingon pitch that went through actually had several names, and it went through several iterations. And I'm sure this is all out there somewhere too. But Yeah, the original thing was supposed to be, and again, it got back to at the end, B'Elanna was either going to kill the Klingon, her Klingon lover, or she was going to kill Chakotay or Paris, whoever it wound up being, you know, representing her closest tie to the Voyager crew. And you didn't know which way. She was pissed at herself and pissed at being Klingon and pissed at the situation she was in. And that was it. It was just, they bought the story. We got paid for it. It was just going to be cool that it kept getting bumped and bumped and bumped. And by the fourth or fifth season, we knew that the characters had evolved and grown up. And, you know, she was running around with Paris and got married and had a baby. And the fact that Ken Biller was running the show the last year and pulled it out, and they actually kept our names on it, and that was you know, very cool, and it was hysterical. A really good Neelix scene wound up being in there, so it's part of the Hollywood process, and that's what happens to, you know, a lot of people when they pitch stories. We were very lucky. I wish some of the other things we had pitched, especially on DS9, had gotten done, and threads of them were. But, that's the way it goes. So I'm just real happy to have been in the club a little bit.
Brilliant. Excellent. Cool. Well, you know what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to have to cut you off.
No!
But don't worry. We'll be warping back in no time. Yes, we will. And that was part three of our interview with Larry Nemechek. I always just find his just spending time with Larry absolutely gripping.
Oh, it is. He's got an insight into everything, and his opinions are really valued, aren't they? Really good look at Star Trek viewpoint. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he gives you like perspectives that you would never have considered sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And part four is very good too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, part four is quite fun as well. And I'm sure that Dina will be happy that we managed to actually get in. So, get in her Desert Island Trek.
Yeah, definitely. Not good. It's not easy picking five episodes on the spot out of 700 hours.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. Now, I need to just double check with this one person, Nicole. I'm going to email you. Could you, as well as ask you on air, could you please clarify, because I want to sell these tickets individually. Would that have been for one individual ticket, and would that be a bid for one ticket or for two? Because how I want to run this auction is I want to sell them separately. Because not everybody's going to have a significant other or a friend that wants to go with them. my wife wouldn't want to go to a Star Trek convention, I know for sure. Especially being as heavily pregnant as she is. So, I would personally only need one ticket. So please, can everyone just clarify if the amount that you're bidding is for two tickets. It's for one ticket. And so if that amount was correct, please just email back, because I need to just double check that, because it's a very, you know, we've got a decent couple of bids come in, and I don't want to reveal that until I actually know. Is this for one bid? Great podcasting when you're actually writing an email.
Oh, all the wonders of live podcasting.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. So, Michael, like myself, you've got the standard tickets, and you've already booked up the some photo shoots. Is there anyone that you're tempted to actually get some actually any more for?
Well, I'm holding out. I'm hoping we're going to get some more TNG guest announcement, because I'd really like to get photo shoots with Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis.
Mm-hmm.
Big Troy fan, big Riker fan, and I'd really like to get those. And if they don't come, then I think I'll go with Brent Spiner.
Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely get one with Brent Spiner, but I'm holding out for those two. But yeah, and considering the ones who are there now, yeah, I'd say Brent Spiner, and I might go for Walter Koenig if, as I say, Jonathan and Marina don't come.
Yes. No, that's... Okay, I'm going to tell you something now that I have been told, because I don't think it's going to be ruining anything. Jonathan Frakes won't be there. He's actually filming Fringe on that weekend, and he couldn't change his schedule. That's why he's actually appearing at the EMS convention that Showmasters have got running at the beginning of October, because he felt that he felt bad for not being able to get over for Star Trek London.
Yeah. Oh, let me get the tissues.
It is. So I was sad that he couldn't make it, but still. Okay, then. I can confirm that our top bid for one ticket so far is £150.
That's really good.
So that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Nicole. And also, the second highest bidder is for £75. So at the moment, the tickets are stacked at £150 as the top bid for one, and £75 for the second one. So, please, if you feel that you can actually beat that, then please get your bids in, because still, even if you're not willing to go up to £150, there's still one more ticket going. So get your bids in. You could save yourself quite a few quid. And remember, it's going to good charities. It's not as if we're just... giving you pap for our pockets. This is going all to our charity, so please, you're saving yourself money and you're doing a good thing, so it makes a big difference. So please remember, when you're bidding, the payment is actually due within half an hour of the auction closing. That's how you secure your ticket. And then we'll get your details over to Media 10, who are running Star Trek London, and you'll have your ticket to you very soon. Well, we're still waiting for our tickets, so I'm pretty sure it'll be at pretty much the same time.
Well, yeah, hopefully they'll start sending them out soon.
Yeah, they ain't got long. The postie is not going to know what's hitting.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear. So, that's some brilliant going. And that's the thing. I'm looking at the schedule for the rest of the day, and we've actually got some pretty filled up hours coming, because we're going to be having a Name That Track where we'll be able to fit in one more thing in there. Then we've got the music of Star Trek with Matt Warrick at 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, we've got a live episode of the improvised Star Trek, which they will create from title suggestions from you guys in the chat room, and then have a chat with them. At 6 o'clock, we'll then have a real-time review of The Visitor with Colin from Trek News Views. And then at 7, we'll be starting to wrap up and finish off with a Trek-off. So, I'm just thinking, I've been given so many presents from our good friends who have been supporting us, and I don't want to let anyone down. So, I feel that it's probably best that we cut to an unreleased episode of the improvised Star Trek. This is an exclusive for all of you Trekmate listeners out there. So enjoy In the Brig Blues.
Greetings. This is Nick Wagner of the improvised Star Trek. What you're about to hear is an episode we recorded way back on February 26, 2012. The title, In the Brig Blues, was suggested on Facebook by Darren Amaya. We were going to produce this episode a long time ago, but it turned out that it was a little on the short side, and we ended up moving past it before we got it out. So we thought we'd just put on a little bit of polish to it and submit it for the Trekmate 24-hour podathon. You'll notice that there's a bit more laughing and a bit rougher edges around the production than usual, and fewer music cues and sound effects. So what you're hearing is a little closer to what it's like actually being in the room with us when we're recording these episodes. Please enjoy.
Well, Lady Cola, I have to say, this was the best night I've ever spent in the brig. You are getting full marks for your brig maintenance.
Thank you.
And if you'll just let me out, I will sign your review.
Well, I was hoping you could give it another 6 hours.
Another 6 hours in the brig?
Yeah. So you can really get the full experience. You got the night, but...
Oh yeah, I guess I don't have the day.
You don't have the day in here.
All right, okay. I'll go back to reading my book.
Were you comfortable?
I was very comfortable.
Do you like the colors?
Yeah. Could I get a spoon, though? I can't really eat a soup with a fork.
I'm so sorry. We can't allow spoons in the brig anymore because of Fritz.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I have a little wooden thing, like if you're eating a popsicle or something.
Oh, I'm not eating a popsicle. I'm eating soup.
Oh.
That's why I can just drink it out of the bowl.
Yeah.
Hey, why are the other people in the brig, by the way?
Yeah, Lady Cola, why am I in the brig?
Well, I thought that you could both test it out together.
Okay.
I do not take Crick's advice in on staff review because of his antisocial tendencies.
Oh, right.
I know exactly why I am in the brig. I deserve to be here.
You do.
Are you the reason I don't have a spoon, Fritz?
Yes. Last week I tried to break out. With a spoon, I held it to Lady Cola's temple.
He did. He said that it was the weakest part of my skull, and he could scoop out the part of my brain that helps me make my good choices.
Captain, here's the here's the botany report and the engineering report, and here is the astronomy report.
Anson, why are you bringing me all these reports?
Because everyone else is not on duty right now.
Oh, well, thank you for taking care of this. Why?
No problem.
Why isn't everyone else on duty? Get Commander Hayes in here.
Commander Hayes is in the brig.
Why is he in the brig?
He's testing the brig out for Lady Cola.
Oh, God, I thought there was a mutiny.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's just that Lady Cola has... gotten real interested in brig maintenance recently, and she thinks that there's not enough people staying in the brig to keep it really brig-worthy.
That's not really the point of a brig. You don't want people in there on a starship.
But she's worried that if we ever have to put someone in there, that they'll get out, or...
Look, Charles, I realize that you're friends with Lady, but sometimes, you know, friendship can get in the way of our judgment. Do you really think it's a good idea to have most of the crew in the brig?
Listen, don't. Please, please, don't tell Lady Cola that I told you that the crew is in the bridge, please, okay?
Okay.
Don't tell her that.
I won't.
All right.
Sir, we just got a subspace communique from Starfleet, and they just want to remind you that in 2 hours the crew evaluations are due back to Starfleet. So is the science report from that planet we visited last week,
okay,
as well as the ship diagnostic.
Okay, I'm going to stay here in my ready room. Can you go back out on the bridge? Ensign Lorm, why don't you... You have the bridge for now.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yes, I'll go through these reports and put something together.
Lady Cola?
Yes?
I just wanted to let you know, there's a tunnel someone's been digging behind this Farrah Fawcett poster.
God damn it.
Fritz, are you trying to get out of here?
You put me in the brig. What am I supposed to do aside from break out?
You ain't ever gonna get out of this brig. I've been in here 28 years.
It's true, he's been in here for 28 years. And you know what? I think we're gonna mix things up a little bit. I want you all to have a really good experience in my brig. So, I'm going to choose two of you at random to be the guards.
I nominate myself.
I nominate Pancakes Johnson.
Pancakes Johnson?
You can just call me Cakes.
You and Fritz are going to be my new guards.
Alright.
Wait, is there a difference between nominating and volunteering?
There was until I decided I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Okay, alright.
I have to ask this, since we're security guards now, do we get spoons?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. Can you remove these?
Yes, I can. Are you sure you didn't scoop out that part of my brain that helps me make good choices?
I am almost positive.
Okay.
After I get a spoon, can I get a whole mess of pancakes up in here?
Yes, you can. Okay, the point of me turning two of you into guards is because I want to make a human experiment. And I want to see what happens when you put people in charge. And prisoners, you have to shave your heads. And
whoa, I have to shave my head?
Yes, you have to shave your head. And the guards will make up whatever rules they want. The only thing is that you can go to the bathroom every 3 hours. Any questions?
I don't think this is within Starfleet regulation.
Shave your head or I'm going to spoon you!
Okay, whatever you say. Corbomite has a rock hammer under his pillow.
Damn it!
So we get to do anything we want for the punishment of Commander Hayes since he has a rock hammer?
What do you have in mind, Fritz?
I just wanted to make chess pieces, everyone.
I had something very detailed in mind, but I want to get Cake's opinion on this one.
Ensign Lorm, can you come in my ready room?
Yeah, yes. Hello, sir, yes.
I've just been going to finishing up the science report, and this nebula is amazing. It was the chemicals and the way they interacted. It made just this beautiful spectrum. Why didn't we look at this while we were there?
You wanted more coffee. And you said it didn't taste very good when we were inside the nebula. Something about the replicator was interfered with and stuff.
You know what I think? I think that the rest of the crew has been distracting me from doing a great job.
So you're saying, as long as you're not spending time on the bridge, you're a good captain?
No, I'm not saying that. Here, I'll take all these pads, and I'll go out on the bridge right now. Captain on the bridge!
Oh.
How are things going, Ensign Lackey?
Things are doing great. We just got a subspace communique. It's been 2 hours, so they're expecting the reports.
Great. They're all finished here. If you could take those and transfer them over. How are you doing today, Ensign Greg?
Super duper!
Ensign Lorm, you would take the tactical station.
Okay. Look, Lady Cola doesn't like anyone standing at the tactical station except...
Well, she's not here, is she?
No, she's not.
And someone needs to be at that station, because the captain's on the bridge right now.
Okay. All right, I'll stand there. Just don't tell Lady Cola. All right.
Pancake Joe, sorry, Cakes, can you just look away while I pee?
Nope. I'm taking notes. I'm learning a lot today.
All right.
Show me what you got.
All right. Well, I'm taking notes on your taking notes. So.
Oh, don't get smart off me. I'm gonna spoon you.
So just to check in with everybody, how is your brig experience going?
So far, since you appointed guards, I have to pee in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to drink soup out of a bowl anymore.
Soup bowl's just a big spoon.
Cakes has a point.
Yeah, no, I get that. And they took away my Bajoran mouth harp.
I'm so cold.
Oh, and Cricket's dying.
I took his uniform away.
Are the colors working for you?
It's very serene in here.
Oh, no, it's calming. It's sitting. I just need to take a deep breath and look at the walls, and I feel better.
Everything's gray. Why is everything so gray?
Does he need to be plugged in? Does anybody know?
I think...
The red light on his head is not flashing.
That's how you know it's time to plug him in.
You know who I think would get a real kick out of this? Lorem. Lady Delorum?
Yeah, what, yes?
Hey, can you come down to the brig for just a sec?
Sure. Yeah, is there anything wrong?
No.
Okay.
Can you bring Crick's plug?
I think I know which plug you're talking about.
Great.
I just wanted to say thank you, because I've been here 20 years, mm-hmm. and this is the best few hours I've ever had in this brig.
I'm so glad. Will you write that on the report?
I will write that on the report. I'm so happy I killed those four people 28 years ago.
Can someone dump a little water out? I definitely want to pee before Lorem gets here.
You got it.
Pancakes broke my shin.
You can just call me Cakes.
Cakes?
Mm-hmm?
What are you doing out of the brig?
I'm with the guard now.
You're a guard now?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Lady Cola made me a guard.
Oh, Lorem, good you're here.
Yeah.
I'm mixing things up a little bit. What do you think?
I think, Cakes is a murderer.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. You believe in the power of reform?
I believe he's been in the brig for 28 years, and he's been talking about killing people every day.
Some days I talk about killing an animal.
It kind of looks like he already killed Crick. Crick, are you all right?
No.
They asked me to bring your plug. Do you want it?
What?
Here.
Ah! Oh, God!
Oh, you're looking better already.
Ah! What are you doing? Ah!
We need to get this man to sick bay.
Right. Oh, I think I did something wrong.
What's that scar on the side of your head?
I can't remember.
Uh-oh.
I can't remember.
Did you give Fritz a spoon?
Yeah. I put him in charge, too.
We need to get you to the sick bay as well.
Fritz and Cakes are running the joint.
We need to get out of here.
Let's just open all the cells and let things go crazy.
Okay, that'll cause a distraction while we get Crick and you to sick bay.
Perfect.
All right.
Let me just press this button and open up all the cells.
There's a riot! There's a riot! Everyone's running loose!
Cakes, track them down.
I'm gonna spoon you!
God damn it, ow! Well, lady, I have to say, I'm gonna have to give you some pretty poor marks for your brig management.
Like a C-?
Well, I guess the first night was pretty good, so if we average that out, yeah, we'll give you a C-.
Perfect.
But,
average.
Crick almost died, and I had to shit in a bucket. And then
no
there was that riot.
There was the riot, and no one has seen Pancakes.
Yes, Admiral, I did the science report myself and the botany report. It turns out my crew was running a test with the brig.
Hold on, let me get down from this trapeze for one second.
Sure.
Then I'll look over. All right, what do you got? Up, flip, land. What do you got there, son?
Well, some of the science reports might not be completely finished because, I don't really know science. So I kind of faked it where I could, and I wrote in equals MC squared 11.1.
Let Admiral Damocles lay some wisdom on you. 75% of being a captain is just making up a bunch of bullshit.
I know that.
Just making sure.
All right.
Cakes, no one will find you here. You have to lay low for a while. Okay?
All right. Can I ask you one favor?
Yeah, anything, Cakes.
You get me a whole mess of pancakes up in here?
Computer, 20 pancakes.
Improvised Star Trek is an unwritten and spontaneous production based on episode titles submitted by our fans.
New episodes are available every other Sunday via iTunes, Stitcher, and our website.
You can go to theimprovisedstartrek.com to learn more about the ship and her crew.
Like us on Facebook or follow Improv Star Trek on Twitter to submit your episode title.
Post-production of Improvised Star Trek is provided by Very Clever Media.
With additional editing provided by Roger Payton.
Star Trek was created by Gene Roddenberry.
Improvised Star Trek is a fan production. Star Trek is property of CBS Paramount.
Absolutely hysterical. I absolutely love them guys.
Absolutely brilliant, aren't they? Just about to take it off, you know, from one improvising it. Just brilliant.
Oh yeah, no, it makes it's just amazing how they put it all together, and we're going to be able to see the cogs turning live as they join us at 5 o'clock to perform a live episode of Improv Star Trek. And to be honest, if you listen to all of their podcasts, they really build an entire world around the characters that they've got, and you really learn how to relate to them as well. It's absolutely hysterical, so can't recommend them guys you enough. Now, according to my clock, we have 3 minutes left for the auction. So that means that we are just waiting for the clock to finish ticking away. And I can now tell you that we have got both tickets currently on £150.
Brilliant.
So should you wish to up that amount, by all means, get in touch. You've got about just under 3 minutes to decide. You could definitely save yourself a few quid, and you're doing it for a very, very worthy charities. So thank you immensely. But remember, you do have to pay within half an hour of the auction closing, and then they are your tickets, guaranteed from Media 10 to you, and that is for all of the goodies that come with the silver tickets, which was the 3-day event pass, the one ticket to the opening ceremony with the captain's talks, 4 randomly assigned captain's talks, 4 in-person autographs, 1 bridge photo shoot, 1 ticket to the stunt show, limited edition print, exclusive goodie bag, and exclusive silver collector's card. You can't go wrong.
Just amazing, isn't it? Great.
Absolutely amazing. So I think this the top bidders are definitely going to be grabbing themselves a bargain if it stays at that price, and you would have made a big difference. So we really do appreciate everyone getting in touch. Now, looking at my clock, we have 45 seconds left of the auction. So if there's anybody out there that is looking for Star Trek London tickets and have only just heard this, get emailing quick. You've got just under 30 seconds now, so not long to go whatsoever. Now, this is so exciting. All of us are looking forward to Star Trek London. Now, Michael, did you say are you going to be going in uniform?
Section 31. Uniform. I'll be going undercover with my comm badge, and that's it.
Sounds like fun to me, definitely.
You're going in uniform though, aren't you, Wayne?
Yes, we will be. And we will be. So it will be easy enough to find at Star Trek London. So whoever does win these tickets, I expect you to come and say hi. because if you check out the website, you'll know what we look like. So please come and say hi. And that is it. The auction has now closed. So our top two bidders was Nicole and James Roberts. So thank you so much, James. And James done that out of the kindness of his own heart there, because he was a bid of £75, so he was guaranteed a ticket, but he took it upon himself to actually up his bid to £150 to just do his part, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so thank you so much, guys. If you log on to justgiving.com/teams/trekmate, choose the charity that you want to give the amount to, and then pay that in. I'll know it's YouTube because I'll suddenly have two £150 donations go in. So don't worry if you don't want your full names published or whatever. But saying that, James Roberts, I've just named yours. So what's the hell? What you're worrying about? So get on there, update that, and I can't believe that. That's absolutely fantastic. That's another £300 to the kitty.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So thank you so much. That means a hell of a lot. So thank you. And thank you to everybody who did bid. Sorry that you didn't quite get what you may have been wanting from that. But to be honest, it's going to two worthy charities. So very well done.
Thank you.
So seeing as... you guys are going to do that, and it is on the hour now. It does mean that it's time for a very short musical interlude. Because we've played a lot over the last hour, I'm just going to make it one song for you. So, here goes.
You think you know when first contact really was? Well, think again. It was back in 1957 in a small town in Pennsylvania called Carbon Creek. Four Vulcans crash-landed after watching Sputnik launch. We're going down to Carbon Creek. Let's see who we can meet. Going down to Carbon Creek. Let's see who we can be. That I Love Lucy on the TV. What about the Three Stooges? Oh yeah. Helping at the local pub. Watching baseball with my bud. Helping at the local pub. Watching baseball with my bud. Live long and prosper. Someone set the de-stress call. Going down to Carbon Creek.